listen. I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Chapter 19. To say that Depa felt back to normal after her meditation would be a gross overstatement. Yes, she'd released most destabilizing of her emotions to the Force. And yes, she could think about what happened over the past several hours without immediately losing any and all sense of reason. But she wasn't okay. And thinking of the way John had screamed, the way he'd looked, so small in comparison to his scars, Depa wasn't sure she'd really ever be okay again. Her Padawan brother had been put through something so terrible that it would be a miracle if he ever trusted an adult again. Thankfully, Depa wasn't a real adult, and she would do whatever was necessary to enter his circle of trust. To think that she'd started the day excited to see John show off his Ataru, the knight that she'd had to bribe to take over the class had no idea the chaos she'd saved him from. Several times over the course of her meditation, she had felt Mace hovering around their bond, while his presence was noticeable and more unsettled than at any time in recent memory. He didn't disturb her. Depa appreciated the space to get her own bearings back. She was a knight, after all. The whole reason that she passed her trials was that she was trusted to steady herself. So no, Depa didn't feel back to normal after her meditation, but she felt as capable of being a good Jedi and a good Padawan sister as she would get. She was just debating searching out John for some much-needed bonding time when her comm chimed. It was Mace asking her to check in on John and see if Padawan Kenobi was with him. She knew that the two of them were good friends, but her master's message seemed pointed. Kenobi had been several years too young to have crossed paths with Depa in the creche, but she'd heard of him and even met him several times. The pranks he'd pulled with Padawan Voss were legendary, and she'd gotten a kick out of betting on their next target with Kit, one of her older crush mates. Even though they were both respectable knights now, they still took pleasure in laughing about the newly rainbow water in the Room of a Thousand Fountains. She'd been more than happy to give the pair a few tips to make their pranks even more spectacular. From the Temple rumor mill, Depa was also aware that Kenobi had had a tumultuous apprenticeship so far. According to the gossip, all of his close friends and creche mates were out of the temple currently, so he likely needed companionship just as much as John. Regardless, it would be no hardship to check in on them both. She sent Mace back her confirmation. John didn't respond to her initial message. She figured he might be distracted with Kenobi and tried not to worry about it. But John had always been quick to respond to her comms in the past, and Depa quickly found herself nervous at the lack of response. To settle herself, she pulled up Kenobi's comm number as well, gathered specifically for pranking tips. Depa rang them both in a group call, figuring she would have better luck gaining the attention of at least one of them. The call rang once, twice, before both sent her to voicemails simultaneously. Her unease, which had been mild, began to rapidly increase. Her bond with John was thin and fragile. It had begun to grow slowly since Mace had taken him as a Padawan. She prodded it experimentally and found it frighteningly well shielded. She climbed to her feet and left her rooms. Depa ignored Mace's inquiry over their bond and strode quickly to her master's quarters. She knocked once on the outer door. "John," Depa called, "are you in there?" No response. The Force twisted, doing nothing to relieve her anxiety. Heart pounding, she input her code and opened the door to an empty common area. Depa tried not to assume the worst and walked quickly to John's room. She knocked again. "John, is Padawan Kenobi here?" Still no response. Apologizing to John internally for the violation, but unable to avoid it when the Force was screaming around her, she opened his door with a judicious twist of the Force. The room was empty. Frightfully bare as always, except for the rug Depa had bullied John into getting. For a moment, she still tried not to believe the worst. It was entirely possible that the two were in a cell, or the cafeteria, or even the Room of a Thousand Fountains. Then, Depa's gaze caught on the crumpled circuitry on John's bedside table. His comm was destroyed, clearly crushed with the Force, and she quickly spotted Kenobi's comm on the floor in the same state. Depa looked to the corner of the room where John's go bag usually hid. It was gone. They were gone. This time, there was no stopping her unease from exploding into full-blown panic. Mace's inquiry was far more urgent this time, and she didn't blame him. Now that she was looking for it, she could feel the leftover ripples of the force in the room. John and Kenobi had both been here, both clearly distressed. And then, nothing. They'd vanished, taking John's go bag with them. Depa's trip to the council chambers was a blur. She had no idea if she'd been running, and had no sense of whether she'd alarmed her fellow Jedi. Frankly, she didn't care. She shoved open the doors, making eye contact with her master across the room. "Masters, they're gone. John and Obi-Wan were together in his quarters, but they crushed their comms and John took his go bag." Mace paled, and several of the masters cursed. "Find them, we must, before too late it is," Master Yaddle said, hopping out of her seat. "Organize a search, I shall. Try not to alarm the rest of the temple, we should." The rest of the council quickly agreed, and Depa could sense that they all understood the urgency of the situation. While Mace and Depa both confirmed that it didn't feel like John was far, Yaddle still assigned several shadows to comb through Coruscant, particularly the areas close to the temple. The rest of the masters elected to search different areas that Kenobi and John favored, though Depa personally thought it was unlikely they'd be somewhere public. "But why would they run?" Depa said, frustrated and confused. "I know that John revealed more of his past than he has so far, but he's safe here." The masters exchanged looks. Mace and Yoda in particular looked exhausted. "I upset Padawan Kenobi unintentionally," Mace said grimly. "I thought that he'd, not maliciously, of course, implied to John that those in the temple would condone Dark Woman's treatment. Instead, it has come to our attention that Kenobi has been sorely mistreated by his master. Not before Kenobi shadow-walked away from me upset, however, and I thought to give him time to calm down." Depa blinked. She wasn't surprised at the series of events. As a knight, she had come to understand that Master Mace was fallible, like all Jedi. And his hard-won calm was often disturbed when it came to the welfare of his Padawans. But the idea that Padawan Kenobi had been mistreated right under their noses... Wait. Kenobi can shadow walk? "Yes," Master Poof huffed. "We are operating under the assumption that Padawan Antilles passed along the skill." "John can shadow walk?" Depa exclaimed. Mace looked at her strangely. "I thought that was exaggerated temple gossip." Something occurred to her. "That's how he got on and off that awning so quickly. The little sneak." Mace sighed. The bond wasn't tugging her in any particular direction, but Depa had an idea, especially considering the shadow walking that was now part of the possible skill set. Considering how dangerous it would be for two Padawans, she hoped it was wrong. "I might have an idea of where I could search," she said slowly, "but I think it would be best if I go alone. I'm the least adult option we have. I could be wrong anyway." Mace looked pained, but inclined his head. "Bring back your Padawan brother safe, Knight Balaba." The words made her straighten. She nodded sharply and left the chamber. And, trusting her instincts, she went down. John had seemed so fascinated when she'd shown him the older parts of the temple. She'd kept them to the safer areas, where the floor was still whole. The purpose of the jaunt had been to point out the secret exits and entrances that knights, masters, and primarily shadows used to slip out into the lower levels of Coruscant. He'd watched her with his serious expression and committed all of the passages to memory. He'd proven so when he'd navigated them out of the temple all by himself on their third adventure out onto the rest of the planet. But Depa had forgotten that for all of John's solemnity, that mischief did exist deep down. And Depa didn't know a single Padawan who could truly leave well enough alone when presented with a mystery. Maybe it was a prerequisite to having the Force, being incredibly nosy. Now, faced with a missing Padawan brother, Depa had the sinking feeling that she'd shown him precisely the perfect playground to disappear into. It could not be overstated that the Coruscant Temple was massive. Like many things in Coruscant, it had grown upwards, but that wasn't to say it was narrow. The temple itself spanned the width of a small city. Though much of it stood empty with their dwindling population, the temple itself was meant to hold millions of Jedi at the peak of the Old Republic. That meant that searching the oldest areas was not a fast task. Sure, Deppa had the benefit of being a Jedi who could jump multiple levels easily, but that didn't hold a candle to the sheer size of the area she needed to survey. If she didn't think it would scare them off, she absolutely would have enlisted help. Instead, to make her task at all possible, Deppa placed her trust in the Force. Once she was deep enough to feel utterly lost, she closed her eyes and felt the world around her. John's bond wasn't giving her anything, but when she let herself float gently in the Force, projecting nothing but, "Concern, searching, guide me, please." There. She opened her eyes and followed the path that the Force had granted her. It still was not a quick or easy venture. Although the Force was her guide, the source of the Jedi's power was not exactly cognizant of massive gaps in the floor or walls barring a particular path. Deppa frequently found herself having to pause and navigate around obstacles, big and small. Despite that, the Force never left her. It had to have been hours. Mace had sent her the occasional brush of concern along their bond, but he had been easily pacified by her brief pulses of, "Safe, searching, close." It had to have been hours, but Deppa finally heard voices. She eased as close as she dared, cloaking her Force presence, and listened. "Stay," the voice that had to be Padawan Kenobi said. "There's no reason for you to—" "There's plenty of reason," John said, voice loud and firm in a way that Deppa had yet to hear. "I've been sitting on reason number one for the past hour." A huff. "It's not like you're actually heavy," Padawan Kenobi muttered mutinously. "Say that again," John said. His tone was teasing. "Stop distracting me," Padawan Kenobi complained. "You know that I have a point. There's no reason for you to abandon the temple. You're meant to be a Jedi, and Master Windu clearly cares about you." "Abandon the temple?" Deppa thought, horrified. It took everything she had not to leap out of her hiding place and latch on to her little brother. No one would be abandoning the temple, not on her watch. John sounded uncomfortable. "He might, but if he's not going to do anything about bad masters, about masters like Dark Woman, Master Qui-Gon isn't masters just like Dark Woman," John said, overriding the other Padawan's voice. "Then what's to say he won't become like her? I don't want to be hurt anymore." He implied that he didn't know. "I'm sure if it was you, if it was someone else," Padawan Kenobi said weakly. "It shouldn't have to be someone else. You matter, Obi-Wan. They should have investigated. They should have known. And they never should have let that criffing nerf herder anywhere near another Padawan." The swears sounded unfairly hilarious coming from John. Padawan Kenobi seemed to agree, judging by his startled snort. "John," Kenobi laughed. "I wasn't aware that you knew that type of language. For shame." "Don't change the subject." John sounded deeply unimpressed. "I go where you go. If that means another planet, or hell, into wild space, then that's where we go." "John," Padawan Kenobi started, sounding both awed and sad. Deppa took the opportunity to step out of her hiding spot. The Padawans were leaning against a pillar, Kenobi with his back to it, and John sitting solidly on his outstretched legs. They both looked terrible, wan, eyes puffy from tears. The shadows flickering across both their faces didn't help matters. "Come now, I don't think any of that is necessary," Deppa said softly. Both of their heads whipped toward her, eyes wide with fright. John leaned forward, gripping Kenobi as if he was about to shadow walk them right there. But as his eyes met Deppa's, he hesitated. Deppa lowered herself to sit on the ground, watching as it unwound something in both their postures to have her lower than them. "Easy, easy," she said. "I come in peace, I promise. I just want to talk." Knight Balaba. Padawan Kenobi sounded spooked. Deppa smiled at him ruefully. "I thought I told you to call me Deppa last time. You're making me feel old here." Kenobi turned red. It was adorable. John watched her warily. Deppa took a deep breath. She didn't need to feel the curling of the Force to know that this moment was pivotal. "Master Mace sent me to find you both," she started carefully. "He's worried about the two of you. I'm sure that he'll want to apologize himself, but he's very sorry for what he said to you, Padawan Kenobi. He didn't intend to doubt you like that. Your master absolutely should not have mistreated you. Padawan Kenobi's face went through an entire range of emotions before it settled on neutral. Did he tell you what I said? Deppa shook her head. No, just mentioned that your master had treated you poorly. I'm sure the council is investigating and figuring out some punishment. Kenobi's whole body went rigid, and Deppa quickly clarified. For Master Jin, you're not in any trouble at all. They're just worried. Kenobi relaxed, but his expression still looked unsure. John, on the other hand, looked surprisingly bloodthirsty. He shouldn't be punished, Kenobi started. John scoffed. Yes, he should be. Kenobi's expression transformed into exasperation. Just because you have it out for Master Qui-Gon. Deppa cut him off before it could turn into a squabble. You can tell me if you want. I can be impartial. Kenobi hesitated before his face firmed. He left me in a war zone without my saber, Kenobi said, voice almost challenging, and got me enslaved twice. It was clear he expected her to doubt him. Unfortunately, Deppa was too prepared for that. Instead, she took a moment to push down her rage before responding. I am so sorry he did that to you. That's absolutely unacceptable. The council will be punishing him for sure. Kenobi gaped at her, obviously shocked that she'd just taken him at his word. John looked approving. Deppa held on to the hope that she wasn't criffing this up and continued, In fact, I would be happy to execute some of my own right of justice and punch Qui-Gon Jinn right in his big nose if you'd like. Yes, John said immediately. Kenobi giggled before slapping his hand over his mouth to cut off the sound. No, that's not necessary. If you insist, Deppa sighed, though carefully didn't make any promises. So they're not going to kick me out? Padawan Kenobi asked. Deppa couldn't stop herself from gaping. What? No! Because if Master Qui-Gon gets punished, he might not be able to train me anymore, Kenobi said anxiously. And then they'll have to make me leave because there'll be no one to finish my training. Deppa shook her head. They won't make you leave. There are plenty of masters to finish your training, she said confidently. Kenobi looked doubtful. No one won me the first time, he said, voice only slightly bitter. Not a single master was interested. They even sent me away early. That's not true, Deppa said, shaking her head. Master Mace even told me once that he'd noticed you as a possible Padawan when you were still a baby. There's no way that other masters weren't interested. Kenobi was a combination of shell-shocked and doubtful. Deppa thought quickly. Besides, even if somehow no other master was interested, I could finish your training. What was she thinking, offering that? But Padawan Kenobi's face looked so hopeful. She couldn't bring herself to regret the offer, even though she was absolutely not ready for a Padawan. You would be better off with someone with more experience, she said quickly. But I promise, if no one else takes you, I will. But someone would definitely take him. Hopefully. Really? Kenobi whispered. Really. That would make me your uncle, kind of, John said casually. Kenobi's nose wrinkled in disgust. Deppa couldn't help her laugh. Mace sent her another status probe through their bond, perhaps able to sense her good mood. She sent him the force equivalent of a thumbs up. Now then, how about we go topside and check in with the council, and figure out if I'll be making Master Mace a Grand Master just like Master Tra wants? Deppa stood and held out a hand. Padawan Kenobi hesitated, glancing at John. To her surprise, John shrugged. It's up to you, Obi-Wan. Like I said, I go where you go. The look John gave her then indicated there was a long way to go in rebuilding his trust in the temple, if it had ever been there in the first place. Swallowing, Kenobi reached out and took her hand. End of chapter 19.